You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
It's time for the show that brings the magic right to your speakers. Ears up!
I tell you, man, being in podcasting is so stressful. I mean, not really, but kind of. What's going on, everybody? Ears Up Podcast. We are here with a good show for you, mainly because it's Beverly telling us all about the history of Cars Land. Hi, Beverly.
Hi.
Are you ready for this?
Yes.
All right, perfect. Yes.
If I'm not, then I'm screwed.
Yeah, that's true. Also with me today is Eric from not only the Supreme Resort, but Concierge. Eric, welcome to our show, please.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here for the first time ever.
I'm a little uncomfortable, so if you guys could just take it slow with me.
What is pod?
That would be fine. I don't have my reel and fishing gear for casting, but it's going to be fun. But no, Eric is here to tell us a little bit about what's going on at the Disneyland Resort, because tickets are now, well, not now, but you can buy them at some point soon. I don't even know when, but the park opens in a couple weeks, so we're going to get the lowdown from Eric, you know, via the good people at Concierge, which is Eric, I suppose. I don't know.
Sure.
But you can find... Oh, also, speaking of, before anything else, Terrence is joining us tonight, everybody. Welcome back, Terrence. We've missed you.
So Hi. Exciting.
Is this a permanent return, or is this a, you know, you had the opportunity, so you're taking it, and then now you don't know?
So I was able to talk to my boss. I was able to move things around. And I will say that this is a permanent return.
Whoa! What a surprise.
You guys are welcome.
That's awesome.
That is very good, Terrence. You know what this calls for? You get the arms extended. One at 90,
oh,
one at 45.
Oh, no.
Bring the 45 in and dabberino. Do clean lines all the way through. You got to dab it. Yeah.
I have to dab it, or you're dabbing it?
Because you weren't in the screen right.
I have to dab it. I dabbed it. Taryn's adjusting my camera as if I didn't put it exactly where I wanted it. Gosh,
whatever.
I tell you, a little bit off center, you know, get a rule of thirds, Taryn.
Yeah, I know, but this isn't Hollywood. This is a podcast on the internet where we're on Zoom. So
why can't it be the same?
It can be.
There you go. I don't know. Well, congratulations,
no.
Terrence. Good job. thanks for using words to get what you want. I appreciate it. If you want to find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, feedback goes to Taryn at earsup-podcast.com. Show suggestions, Terrence at earsup-podcast.com, still, I guess, right? Yeah. You can say
hi
to Bev at earsup-podcast.com. Anything else comes to me, Jason at whatever. Bev seems a little tired. Bev, would you like to talk about why you're tired?
I just got like punched in the face. I'm super sleepy now.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I got my first COVID vaccine shot today.
Yay!
Yeah, that's
my arm hurts.
Because I was like, yeah,
sleepiness is a good sign.
Yeah, you want to say why you're tired? You're like, I just got punched in the face. I'm like, oh no, what are people gonna think?
Punched in the face with sleepiness.
Yeah,
not by Terrence.
You just hit the
wall. I'm right next to her.
You just hit the wall.
Yeah.
Oh man, damn. Well, but other than that, you feel good. I mean, you know, arm sore, and you're sleepy.
Fair. I'm a sore and I'm sleepy, but that's it.
That's
so
not
far.
Bad. Yeah, nice. That's not bad.
I thought I was cold. Like, I thought I had the chills earlier, but it turns out I was just cold.
Yeah.
Happens.
I was going to say, that's just
a sweater. And I was like, oh, I'm better now.
That's just you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, this is way better than the alternative.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you for keeping people safe.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. The folks at the Supreme Resort have a message for us. It's about the return of game night. I'm going to just play the video, and it's, you know, it's an audio thing anyway, but I just made a little video for it, but here. It's very funny.
Hi there, cool kids like me. I'm a cool kid and I'm a real person. My name is Asher. Don't forget that the Supreme Resort is hosting game night. The adventures continue this Saturday. I don't know all the details because I'm just a kid who liked to punch frogs and do other cool kid things. But it's probably, like, from 5 to 9 Pacific or something. I don't really know that adult stuff because I'm just a kid. A real kid. A cool kid like you. Games will be at tinyurl.com/thepasswordishotdrinks. The password is hot drinks. I hope they have a juicy slice, yo. You know, cool kid stuff for cool kids like me.
Yeah.
It's very silly.
It's very silly. So good job to our new VO person, Asher, who's a real person and not definitely not fake. and, you know, this is just, you know, Dan is a mentally unstable person.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Eric, what's that? What's the URL for that game night? How do people join the game night? Because I didn't really hear it.
Yeah, let's put that in the chat so I can mention it because, yeah, it didn't come out well and I don't actually know off the top of my head.
Okay.
Dan. Put it in the chat.
Yeah, Dan. Put it in the chat, brother.
Come on, Dan.
Put what in the chat?
And game night is super fun. I've been there a few times. It's really, really fun.
So the URL, I believe, Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, is to join the game. But if you just want to watch it, it's going to be on Twitch. So you can just go to twitch.tv/earsup or something like that. And then you can watch along. You can comment and you can just hang out. So that's part of it, too. You know, like that.
But you can also join.
You can also join and have fun with cool kids and cool people.
Like Asher.
That's right. Like Asher. Good old Asher.
None of us.
No. No. Hell no. We don't have feedback, do we, Tara?
If we do, I didn't find it. So
no. Okay. So no, that's perfect. If you want to support the show, go to Etsy.com/shop/Coveyears. There's a brand new t-shirt. I finally got my t-shirt, the t-shirt of my dreams. go check that out. It's the Adventureland sign, but instead of Adventureland, it says Tomorrowland. And I think that's very, very funny. And I don't know why, but I needed to get it out of my brain. And so now it's out of my brain and it's on Etsy and you can wear it. It could be on your chest. My brain material can be on your chest. So Etsy.com/shop/Coveyears. Buy the shirt, please. I also made it into a mask.
Very nice.
So, and I was talking about those masks on Etsy, and apparently they have a pocket for a filter. So I just thought it was like some cheap ass mask. It's actually like pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So if you just want to maybe wear one mask, or, you know, we're supposed to be double masking, so you can buy this Tomorrowland mask. You don't have to put a filter in it, and that can just be your second layer.
Your cover mask?
Yeah, your cover mask. So check that out. Of course, patreon.com/earsup, best way to do it. You know, you get cool content and stuff like that over there. All right, Eric, what's going on at the Disneyland Resort, please? How do we go? How do we line up? What's going on? Tell me right now, please.
My goodness.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a lot happening. And right after they announced a bunch of things that were happening, they announced more things that were happening.
Perfect.
All the time.
Oh, good.
So by the time anybody hears this, including right now when you're hearing this, it's out of date.
Jeez.
Because I wrote my notes like an hour ago.
Wow.
Yeah. But here's the basics. If you don't have tickets, and most of us don't.
You're right.
Because annual pass is gone, everything gone. So if you don't have any tickets, tickets go on sale April 15th at 8 a.m. Pacific.
Oh, God. Guarantee you the site's going to crash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to handle that well.
No.
Can I ask a quick question then?
Yeah.
What's the reservation thing on April 12th then?
Ah, well, We'll back it up a little bit. So sorry. When it comes to reservations, so one of the things that's been going on for the last however many months since Walt Disney World opened up is the park reservation system. And that's worked out pretty well for Disney World resorts, resort parks. There are basically you buy your tickets, and then for the days that you're going to be there, you reserve your spot in a specific park. As of January 1st, they opened up park hopping. So after 2 p.m., you can go on to another park, move around a little bit more. But the basic idea is you have to take a little bit of extra time and plan out which days you're going to be at which parks and reserve that so they know how many people to have there, how close to capacity they are, mm-hmm. all that good stuff. And they're going to start something similar at Disneyland at DCA. Now, tomorrow, April 9th, anyone who for some reason has a one-day ticket can start to reserve their spot in the parks in Disneyland and DCA. So if you happen to, for some reason, maybe you work for the media or
okay.
you just bought a random ticket a year ago for one day. My thought is that it's generally going to be media people and invited people. The place is going to be just
YouTubers. It's going to be nothing but people holding their phones up going, was this flower here? I don't know. Let's go back. Everyone, you look and do the research. Was this flower here? I think this is a new, guys, a breaking news.
Yeah.
New flower alert.
Basically. Yeah, the same people who said, you know what? They lit up more lights on Main Street last night. So yeah. They're hanging out in downtown Disney every day, just looking for something slightly different that they can report on.
Right.
Man, those people are so cool.
Cool kids right. like you.
Really? But that's tomorrow, April 12th at 8 a.m. Pacific. Anyone who has any valid ticket, so multi-day tickets, any valid Disneyland ticket that they purchased within the last however many months can reserve their spot in the parks starting April 30th when the parks open up.
Okay.
So there are plenty of those tickets still out there. People who had vacations planned that got canceled. They're the next ones who can pick. April 15th, anyone can reserve a spot in the parks. And that's also the day that tickets go on sale. It's also the day that you can start to book the one hotel that is open, which is the Grand Californian Hotel.
That's the only hotel.
Why am I not surprised that's the only hotel that's open?
I know. The most expensive hotel.
Why would they only open one?
Because it's reduced capacity.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's probably because of capacity. It's going to be so low when they open up. But the main reason that it's open, in my opinion, is because it has the villas. It has Disney Vacation Club in there.
Oh.
And that's what they did at Walt Disney World. Because there's this large group of people that technically own a chunk of that hotel, that's opening up first so mm-hmm. that the DVC members can get in there as well.
Gotcha.
And use those points because they don't want you guys to just accumulate a bunch of points, right? They want you to use them,
right? Yeah, they want us to use them.
Yeah,
they're letting people book their or bank their points right now for in kind of indefinitely. But normally they have some restrictions on how much you can bank. But they want you to use those points. That's why you bought into this. It's a timeshare, really.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only one that's opening up. To start with, because why not make it the one that meets certain requirements for
everybody,
owners, and also brings in the most possible money?
Yeah. It's funny how things are, it's almost like it was planned that way. Mm. You know what I mean? Whatever.
You just say plandemic?
No, I said planned that way.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. But also, I'll send you the video link to that. Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. Did they there were a lot of refunds for annual passes before they got rid of the program. Did they do anything special with the DVC members?
No.
Okay. How do you feel about that? Should they have? Do you guys feel slighted?
I actually am a DVC member. I guess there was a discount on DVC members on points at Aulani. this spring, and I felt great about that because I went to Aulani and I got a fifth. I got one night. I booked four nights and got a fifth night, which was fantastic.
Great,
because you rarely see discounts on DVC properties, but
right.
But yeah, it's not like we automatically have annual passes or anything like that anymore. It's just the rooms. So,
okay.
Yeah, there haven't been too many extra perks for DVC members lately.
Okay, interesting. Are you going to go to Disneyland on the opening day, Eric?
No, I will not.
Yeah, I will not either. What about you, Terrence or Bev? You guys planning on going?
No.
Yeah.
I don't see myself going to a park with a mask on.
Yeah,
so
I don't.
It's going to be a while.
I agree. I don't want to. And if you want to, that's totally fine. I get it. That's cool. But I don't feel like that's enjoyable for me.
I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I have more of a problem with, weren't you saying, Terrence, like indoor rides are closed? Majority of the rides at Disneyland that I would want to go on are indoors. So that's a waste of my time.
So they actually released the, and we'll might get this to this in the news, but they released the rides that are open, and every ride I would want to go on is open when they open. I think the Grizzly River Run is the only one in DCA that's closed that I would want to go on, and I think Matterhorn is the only one in Disneyland that I want to go on that's closed. But besides that, everything else I want to go on is open.
I was
but
really
I
surprised.
Still don't want a mask.
I don't. I agree with that. And I was very surprised to see the list because, I was expecting to see like everything. And I was like, oh, there's a lot open.
Yeah, it's definitely more than I thought initially when they first announced at the beginning of this week. The only ride that they really technically confirmed was the new Snow White's Magical Wish.
Mm-hmm.
Enchanted Wish.
Yeah, come on, dude.
But yeah, they have updated the list, and it is a lot more than we thought. Even OC Register had an article a few days ago about how there's no way Rise of the Resistance is opening because you're indoors for more than 15 minutes, and that's the line. But apparently they figured that out.
I was curious about that, but we'll see. I do plan on talking about that in the news. So, Eric, are you going to hang out for the show and like hang out with the news and do news with us and listen to Beverly?
I'll hang out.
Okay, well, Bev, then we'll give Eric a break, and why don't we turn to you for the history of Cars Land?
Okay.
What do you think of that?
Let's do that.
All right. Perfect. I love it so much.
<It's> Sorry. Amazing. I had to get it open and ready.
Yeah.
So, just going to be talking about the history of Cars Land tonight. So, when DCA was being developed and built in the early 2000s, a pretty sizable amount of land was withheld, always with the intention of using it for further development of the park. Now, while this land was waiting to be developed, it served as the Timon parking structure. Does anybody remember the Timon parking structure?
Absolutely. No. It's where I parked every time I went when I was a pass holder in college.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I have no idea what I only went to original gangster DCA once before they changed it. I have no memory of that.
Oh, it was kind of a small parking lot, actually.
That's what so honestly, you know what I remember? I remember the Golden Gate Bridge, and this is just DCA. This isn't specific to cars. And I remember the farm. And I vaguely remember, were there goats there?
What farm are you talking about?
It was called the Bountiful Farm.
Where was it?
In DCA, across from the waterfall or whatever?
It was a little bit further back. So think about where Cars Land is, that area right now.
Yeah.
Bugs Land, on the backside of Bugs Land, towards where you would walk towards Paradise Pier. There's a thing called the Bountiful Farm that was in that area.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wow. You don't need to. It was not worth remembering, believe me.
Climb on a tractor.
Yeah, okay. Huh. Sounds fun.
Okay, well, that was a fun tangent.
Yeah.
and I brought it up, sorry. Anyway, the idea for a themed land specifically at DCA celebrating California's quote-unquote car culture had been making the rounds at Walt Disney Imagineering for years.
Okay.
Long before we ever saw the movies. Or I'm sorry, before we saw the movie Cars. And what I mean by that is Disney didn't choose to create Cars Land because of the film. It just so happened that this film tied itself into a land that they were already really enthusiastic about building.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay. Huh. I can't tell if that's cool or not.
Well, I actually, I'll get into more about that a little bit later, but okay. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
All right.
So the original focus of the land was going to be a little bit different from what we have today. So think classic cars, tourist attractions, drive-in auto-themed restaurants, roadside architecture, all things that were really popular during the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. So think like early Americana.
Unions, high-paying yes. jobs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, one-paycheck households. Got it, yeah.
Precisely.
It. Yeah, communism.
Men wearing dresses and hats to leave the house.
It's whoa, whoa. Hold on. Yeah.
Now, does anybody know what Cars Land was originally going to be called before it became Cars Land?
Oh, me, teacher. Miss Moore, pick me, please.
Jason.
It was going to be called the Vroom Vroom Gas Guzzle Location.
Close.
Oh.
Radiator Springs Land?
It was going to be called Car Land.
Oh, now that's dumb.
First of all,
it had at this point.
Awesome.
At this point in its development, it had nothing to do with Cars the movie. It's just about vehicles. So it was going to be called Car Land.
Because this predated the movie, right?
The idea,
right?
Certainly predates the movie. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Car Land.
Car Land.
Can you imagine going to
Car Land?
Mommy, Daddy, I really want to go to Car Land. Car Land.
Right.
Well, also, what does that even have to do with California?
I don't know. Well, what is our car culture?
It does. Like Route 66.
California?
Doesn't that go throughout the whole country?
Yeah. I wouldn't call...
And also through California.
I wouldn't call Route 66 California car culture related. It's just like national, like the national zeitgeist among cars. But
I
like,
actually think of it as like middle America more than
I would
California.
Think it more of like pinstriping, because I think that whole started in like with the car mods in L.A. and that kind of thing, like, you know, which is sort of what's, you know, what's there, right? Ramon and his, you know, pinstriping. And like some of the modded cars, but, you know, like hydraulics and stuff, I would consider that a West Coast, a California thing. But then, I don't know what, glass packs in your VW Bug? Like, I don't, you know, I don't know. I don't know much about it, so.
Weird.
Whatever.
Okay. So, while the idea for Carland,
you just, it sounds like you have no idea what you're talking about when you say Carland.
Right? So, while the idea for Carland looked good on paper to Imagineering, and it doesn't sound terrible talking, but like conceptually, like it doesn't sound like the worst idea.
Uh-huh, Mater, go ahead, yeah.
Shut up.
All right.
It was missing something that many of the original DCA attractions were missing.
An S, yeah.
God, I hate you so much. No. Okay. That would be a true Disney element, right? So
sure,
be that a place or location from a film or a character presence or whatever. There was just nothing about, and please just let me say Carland.
I will.
There was nothing about Carland that made it Disney. So the idea was put on hold.
Can I ask a question, though? And I know it's an answer you won't have.
Maybe, sure. Go
What's
for it.
Disney about the Golden Gate Bridge over the entrance to DCA?
Well, I think they were apprehensive to build this land because it didn't have a presence like so many other attractions in the original DCA.
Got it.
Okay. So I did have an answer. Sorry.
Yeah, you did.
That is until the year 2006 when the movie Cars became a massive hit for the newly acquired Pixar studio. Now, it was at some point around this time that good old Loha Glassiter made the suggestion, let's build Radiator Springs. Now, to be clear, and I actually did try to find more on this, I don't know who he said this to. I don't know why it was brought up to him specifically. Oh, Terrence is chiming in. Do you know?
He spoke to Kevin Rafferty, who was the head designer for Cars Land. They had the conversation. They had the model of the cars, and then he had a conversation with Kevin Rafferty, and I believe it was Bob Iger at the time, but that's the direction they should go in.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
Apparently I didn't look hard enough. What I did learn, just go back. To be clear, I don't know why he said that. We figured this out. But what I did learn, and maybe everybody else knew this, but I didn't, was that John Lasseter was actively involved in the design of the buildings, the rides, the merchandise, and the music for Cars Land, which makes sense. But to me, like, movie guys live over here and Imagineers live over here, and they don't meet anywhere in my brain.
So, okay, sure.
Whatever. Concept art for Carland appeared in the dreaming section of the Walt Disney Company's 2006 annual report, which was released on December 12th, 2006, just 6 months after Cars had been released in theaters. The concept art depicted a racing simulator ride, but provided no specifics. Bob Iger stated at the time that the concept art depicted projects at various stages of development and that some projects depicted, quote, may never be built. But many of the current attractions in Cars Land were originally designed to be in Car Land. They were just tweaked a bit.
Interesting.
Like what?
I think, well, I'll get into it.
Okay, good.
So I think something we all know about Disney is that 90% of the time, they don't do anything halfway. So when they were designing Car Land.
Nice caveat. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you. When they were designing Carland, they tried to make it very authentic, as though you were actually taking a drive on Route 66. Now, they also employed that same level of authenticity when they were creating the film Cars, something I think really assisted them in the development of Carsland. Some of the original attractions of Carsland included Cruise Street.
In this, I'm sorry, of Carland or Cars Land?
Did I say Cars?
Yeah.
See, this is challenging for me.
Yeah.
Some of the original rides and attractions of Car, singular.
Yeah, that's what you should call Carland. It, either singular or plural. Just
that's just what I should say, a yeah. singular word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cruise Street.
Cruise Street, all right, where yes. you can go howl at the women going shopping. That's fun.
I mean, Lasseter, it was Lasseter's
yeah,
idea.
That's true, yeah.
The origin of Carland began with Cruise Street, a neon-lit streetscape set somewhere between 1955 to 1965. This was when American pop culture was really dominated by, like, rock and roll, diners, hot rods.
Yeah.
And I think we can all see, like, the parallels in Cruise Street versus the main drag of Carsland here. The main difference is that the concept art for Cruise Street had vintage cars lined up as though it were a car show.
Yeah, that sounds infinitely boring.
Yeah.
Just like a car show? I don't know, man. I'm not a car guy. I've been to like two car shows my entire life and they were both like.
Well, I mean, I don't think it was a car. I think it was going to be set up very similarly to how the main drag of Cars Land is, like with the same sort of shops and ideas and restaurants and whatever, but
I just think it's weird.
But
like,
it was just all there were also cars set up as a car show, so it was all just like very like
to me. That's weird. I don't know. Like I like that station wagon that they had across from the Grizzly Smokehouse Grill or the Smoke Jumpers Grill or whatever. That's not there anymore. I don't think. So that was like cool, but I don't know. I mean, I guess I can't imagine like walking down the street and seeing these cars and like looking at these cars and going. All right.
Sick hot rod, bruh.
Yeah. Love it.
So over time, the main drag of Carland would eventually evolve into downtown Radiator Springs. And honestly, that transition to me seems like it was almost too easy. And this is what I was going to get at earlier. It makes me sort of wonder if like ideas for the movie Cars were borrowed from Carland and vice versa.
Yeah,
was this, and you know, this is something I should know. So Terrence, let me know, was this before Disney bought Pixar? Like were these standalone things? No.
No.
Okay. All right.
Well, so Carland was created before Pixar. And then Disney purchased Pixar. They released Cars, and Disney was like, oh, snap, this solves all of our problems.
It was so both companies had a Route 66 project going. And so, I've been to Route 66. And so I've been to Route 66 in California and New Mexico and parts of Arizona. And it looks similar at every single portion. So if you've been to Route 66 at any portion, you see the neon, you see the old signs, you see the hot rods, you see all that stuff. And so I don't think it was a matter of borrowing it. I think it was just easy to translate what Pixar was doing to DCA, because they were doing something that was on the same route.
Okay. 66.
Oh, gosh.
So the next attraction featured in the annual report was Marty's Drive-In. This was located at the end of Cruise Street. You originally were going to find a restaurant called Marty's Drive-In, and I'm a little unsure of the location here, so I'm assuming if it's at the end of Cruise Street, it would be where the fire department mm-hmm. currently is.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that sound right?
Yep.
Okay. Cause there were no pictures, so I couldn't really figure that out. So eventually, Marty's Drive-In was moved and repurposed as Flo's V8 Cafe, which featured a very similar design and aesthetic. So now let's move on to some of the rides that were being planned. Road Trip.
There's a lot of potential with that, with Marty's Drive-In. So the drive-in that they have in, Eric, I'll throw this to you. So the drive-in that they have in Florida at Walt Disney World, where it's a drive-in, but it's also a restaurant.
Yeah, the sci-fi drive-in and dive. Yeah.
It seems like there would be a lot of potential with that, because it's not like Flo's, where it's kind of a walk in, grab your stuff, maybe walk around kind of a thing, but it's an entire, it's a destination. There's a lot of potential that they could have had with that.
I mean, it's a sit down eatery, and I wish that Disneyland had something as that cool. It was the whole aesthetic was like, anytime you're indoors and you can replicate it being twilight is, I don't know. I just, cool. I like that. It's my kind of like thing. So yeah.
Yeah. That would be easy to transplant in car land.
It really would.
Yeah.
Now I wish we had car land. Forget cars.
I wish they had come up with a better name.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Vroom Vroom Street.
I stand correct.
Yeah, Gas Guzzle Alley.
So, Road Trip USA was the name of the ride. This was an...
Love that movie.
Autopia-style attraction.
Oh, no.
Oh, lordy.
With dark ride elements.
Huh. Okay.
The original... Okay. Yeah, so, give it a minute. The original storyline for the ride featured a cross-country road trip in a 1962 station wagon.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's dream, dude.
Heck yeah.
That's straight...
Crank up the ace. Oh, just roll down the window.
Yeah. That's straight boomer fodder right there. Like, yeah. that is audience targeting, like...
Yeah. Yes.
Because no child wants to go there.
No, you didn't want to do it when you were a kid. Yeah. You don't want to do it now.
That's all parents going, come on, this is how I used to have vacations.
This is so fun.
It's great. A pack of beef jerky and a book for 12 hours.
And a Yoo-Hoo.
Yeah.
But can you sit backwards in the back? That's the question.
Yeah. On this trip, this trip would take you past Mount Rushmore. You would drive under waterfalls and across covered bridges. Along the way, the rider would encounter oversized chickens, life-sized dinosaurs designed to entice motorists to stop at roadside attractions. So think... World's biggest ball of yarn, next exit.
Gotcha.
So okay.
That's the vibe.
It's more of a Route 66 than a California.
So then my next line is all things you would expect to find on Route 66.
But not in California. So that's what I don't understand. I guess that's the disconnect there is why maybe.
I think that's probably also a good reason as to why it wasn't built.
Yeah.
The ride also took you through a cavern filled with stalactites and stalagmites, and a car wash with spinning bristle brushes and blowing air dryers. Sound familiar?
I mean, just a car wash.
Yeah, I mean, this is also Radiator Springs.
Exactly.
Racers.
So a lot of these things, you're going to see parallels.
Okay.
Visitors were to enter Road Trip USA through a Route 66 style souvenir shop advertising strange and amazing attractions that were not to be missed.
That's the cue for Radiator Springs Racers.
Many elements from Road Trip USA ended up being included in the massive rock work that dominates Cars Land. So like the berm.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But things that were designed to be part of that berm ended up staying. So now apparently there was more than one version presented for Road Trip USA. The second version added a Disney character overlay called Goofy About Road Trips, based on the 1995 A Goofy Movie. Never seen it. About a cross-country road trip done by the dog. And I'm just going to interject here. Like, I actually typed "I'm going to interject here" out and just openly state how much I hate this idea.
I love it. Oddly enough. Come on. Goofy is severely underrepresented.
Awful. Absolute trash.
He has a whole sky school.
Yeah. And that works fine, but this is whatever.
Okay.
So the attraction took riders on a journey with the absent-minded Goofy where things went awry and mayhem ensued.
Okay.
It's easy.
So he's like he's basically like a more hazard-prone Clark Griswold.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. That's my parallel.
And then the third version
that
was presented was dubbed Sally's Road Rally. Now, this version took visitors through familiar locations in Radiator Springs. So this is the first sort of Cars Land intentional parallel that you're going to see.
Okay.
This version took visitors through familiar locations in Radiator Springs and into the world of Cars characters. Obviously, those plans inspired the development of downtown Radiator Springs and Cars Land.
Sure. They probably looked at that and, wow, this is a really good idea. Let's watch Cars again to really get a vibe. Well, hey, it's literally all here.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
What are we doing?
So,
all right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hang on, everybody. It's Ears Up.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Gee, sorry guys, but that guy bought 14 churros. I'm all sold out.
And now, back to the show.
The next ride was called Junkyard Jamboree.
Oh my god, dude.
Wow. They really went on a limb on that one.
Yeah. They sure did.
And yeah, ironically, it was hosted by a cable guy. So, I don't know. Weird.
Junkyard Jamboree was originally designed to be a dark ride. Believe it or not, the original attraction would have taken
that
visitors
would have been better
through an auto salvage yard, like a pick and pull, where old junkers would then come to life after dark and then play
cute.
Music,
like Toy Story almost.
Yeah, that's kind of like that.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's very Muppety, honestly.
Animatronic characters built from random car parts would transform into musicians in a band called Johnny V8 and the Revtones.
So I actually love that name.
I actually envision something like the graveyard scene from Haunted Mansion here happening. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Where the engines roar and the oil leaks.
That is total creative liberties. I'm just guessing here.
Shut my door and the trail or creaks. Wheelless cars materialize and begin to...
can you mute yourself?
No. Registered their own. I don't know. Okay.
I tried.
You did. I was
trying to bring some humor into this show.
It was pretty good, actually.
Thanks.
Imagineers thankfully dropped the original ride concept, but they kept the name with Mater's Junkyard Jamboree reimagined for Cars Land as a God Jesus. I'm just going to start that whole paragraph.
God Jesus, help me, please.
Imagineers thankfully dropped the original ride concept but kept the name, with Mater's Junkyard Jamboree reimagined for Cars Land as a cross between the traditional teacup ride and the classic whip ride.
I mean, it's a good name. It's a you know, alliteration, I think is what it's called. It's a good name. It rolls off the tongue. It's that Mater's part that lets the hair on the back of my back stand up.
Ew. Yeah. Ew. Gosh, the hair on the back of your back. On October 17th, 2007, Disney announced a five-year, $1.1 billion renovation and expansion plan for DCA. The plan included a major overhaul of several different areas existing in the park, as well as the addition of, say it with me, Cars Land. I don't think I have to use the word Car Land anymore.
Thank God.
Now, if I can just intersect my own opinion here for a second, I think this is some of the best money that Disney ever spent. Whatever. How dare you?
Bisect?
As I mentioned before, I only went to Original Gangster DCA once before the overhaul. But I feel like when DCA originally opened, it was the literal interpretation of an identity crisis. Mm. And sort of after the renovation, it sort of became its own entity, if you will. Like, it became its own standalone park as opposed to, like, what was the thought behind this? Why is there a farm?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
In preparation for building the new land, a concept team toured Route 66 in 2008. I might have already mentioned this, but I'll say it again in case I haven't. Every single thing you see in Cars Land was inspired by something you can actually see on Route 66, with the exception of one thing.
Okay.
Anybody want to guess what that is?
The cozy?
Let me think. Wait. Say that again. What am I looking for again?
Every single thing you see in Cars Land was inspired by something you can actually see on Route 66, with the exception of one thing. Terrence, you've already read this. You don't get to guess.
Yeah,
I didn't read it, but I'm going to say...
I would guess the cozy cone.
I'm going to say talking cars.
Okay, so... okay, sure.
The military thing?
No. The trees.
Oh.
Wah, wah. Trick question. Right.
But at least they didn't pull an Epcot and they put trees in.
Imagineers came to the conclusion that the Southern California sun could potentially make their guests somewhat uncomfortable. So they decided to divert ever so slightly from the 100% Route 66 concept and add in some trees.
Thank you.
Can I just say thank you for that?
That might be best thing Imagineers have ever done.
Yeah. Because we've all been there walking down the main drag of Route 66 where the sun is reflecting off of the blacktop into your face and you just hate your life.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine if the whole park was like that? Or if the whole land was like that?
Oh, yeah. No, that was a good move.
Yeah. So there are some pretty recognizable landmark replications in Cars Land. I mean, they're recognizable if you aren't me, because I didn't know that these things actually existed.
Fair.
So let's start with the Cozy Cone Motel.
Okay, let's do that.
The Cozy Cone Motel's design is based on two wigwam motels along Route 66. One was originally in Holbrook, Arizona, and the other was in Rialto, California. These were once two out of seven motels with individual cabins shaped like teepees. Now, if you can Google, like, wigwam motels along Route 66, it is just crazy. Like, I want to stay in one of these. They're so cool.
Huh.
Okay. But I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I'm still right. You're not going to see a hotel that's, you know, shaped like a traffic cone. So I win that one.
No, you don't. Because it was designed after... Okay, whatever.
Thank you.
Now, the other highly recognizable landmark I have heard of...
Yeah.
And that would be the Cadillac Ranch. Do you guys know what that is?
No.
No.
Okay, so I think it's in Texas. Is it in Texas? It's in Texas.
It's like the Bunny Ranch?
No, it's like one of those, take this exit to the Cadillac Ranch. It's a roadside thing. And it's, so there's like six or something, but they're old Cadillacs.
Okay.
And they are nose down into the ground. So basically from the back of the front seat down is all underground. And then the butt end of the car sticks out of the ground in a row.
Okay.
Like six of them, and they're actual vehicles.
Okay.
What I never realized is that there are six peaks on the top of the mountain range. Mm-hmm. And they all have those weird peaks. There are six peaks, and those peaks represent a Cadillac tail frame from a different year model from the Cadillac Ranch.
Mm. Oh. Yeah, I knew that. I just figured it was a design element within, you know, from the movie. I didn't know. I mean, I obviously it was like from the movie, thing. But like I thought they just took designs from cars and worked them into the natural elements, like the tail fins and stuff. But I didn't know it was based on a real thing.
You looked at that and actually recognized that those were tail fins of vehicles?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I never did that.
Yeah. Well, you like, see, a man, I'm naturally, leaning towards being an expert on cars. So, no, I don't know. I like old cars, I guess, looking at them. Okay. The aesthetic of those like 50s cars, like the big boats, I love them. I wish they would bring them back. But they would just literally kill people. Yes. So, can't do it.
While it is the most popular ride, Radiator Springs Racers is not the only attraction Cars Land currently has to offer. I will start, in fact, with my favorite ride, and that is Mater's Junkyard Jamboree.
That is not your favorite ride. Shut up. You're trying to score points with
Brittany. I freaking love
Brittany.
That ride.
No, you don't.
No, I really do.
Really?
So Mater's is an attraction in the style of a whip ride themed to Mater's Junkyard. Mater's the master of ceremonies of the Jamboree. The vehicles are baby tractors which pull trailers attached to them that move around to music that is so kindly being sung to you by Mater.
So kindly.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what it is about this ride that I enjoy so much, because the ride itself isn't like mind-blowing. It could be like I remember riding it with Abby when she was a baby and thinking, and she loved it, and I was like, oh, this is so cute. And you know, we were able to ride it with her when she was a toddler and there was no issue because we could just hold her. Maybe that's it. But it's not the worst ride, no matter what Jason says. And the line usually isn't too long.
That's
true. I agree with you.
You know, the only thing I don't like about it is hearing that dude's voice.
Is Larry the Cable Guy.
Constantly, dude. Constantly. And that's what puts me off to that ride, honestly.
So as I move into the next section, I just want to give fair warning that there will be some saltiness.
There
weird.
Always is.
That's weird for this show. I don't know.
There was a brief moment in time when an attraction called Luigi's Flying Tires existed.
Yes, now we're talking. That's my fave.
If you blinked, you would have missed it. But I can say with 100% certainty that if you did in fact miss it, you are not in fact missing out. I want to be clear, this next bit, at least the non-critical part, was taken like word for word verbatim from Wikipedia. So the queue takes visitors through Luigi's Casa della Tire Shop and out the back through an Italian garden to Luigi's tire yard, where the ride took place. Once seated in their tire, Luigi gave a countdown, and then an air compressor pumped air up through the floor's 6,714 air vents. The tires lifted about 2 inches off the floor. Lies.
Yeah, two inches
centimeters
off the floor
at best. If it was 2 inches off the floor, they would have actually moved.
Yeah, you'd be actually flying.
Right. At which point, riders could make their tire move by leaning the direction they wanted them to go. So if you wanted to go left, you were just supposed to lean. I'm off the microphone, but lean to the left, lean to the right.
I will never forget the image of you leaning. You are at like a 65 degree angle.
Not true. You could not move these things.
No.
At all.
I mean,
and the ride lasted approximately 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Lies.
Well, so here's the thing. That's what I'm saying is I remember you very distinctly in the cockpit leaning to one side at a 65 or a 75
like
degree angle.
Essentially laying down.
Yeah. And the thing was just you were stationary. And then I think towards the end, you sort of got it. And then the ride was over. Just when you figure out the ride, it's over.
Yeah.
And by figure out, I mean you move 2 inches.
You're taking words out of my mouth. So I think this was supposed to be some form of bumper cars. However, the ride vehicle, this is where it gets salty. The ride vehicle was so difficult to move that by the time you actually got the hang of how to maneuver it, the ride was over. Mm. And God forbid you or someone riding the ride with you at the same time lifts up half a butt cheek to really get some momentum going, because then the cast member shuts down the ride and reprimands you. And then they restart it. 5 times that happened.
Really?
Oh my.
Don't you remember? No. It was Blobber's son. He kept like standing because he couldn't get the dumb thing to move.
Oh no!
I don't
remember
that.
He was trying to use his legs, and they were like, "You need to sit down." They turned off the ride. You need to sit down. He would sit down. They turn it back on. He'd do the same thing. They turn it down, and then 2 minutes were up, and they're like, "Ride's over." And I was like, "I'm gonna take a knife to this tire."
Oh, shouts out, Jacob.
Anyway, I have a lot of feelings.
Yeah,
you do.
So Blobber. On February 17th, 2015, the attraction closed.
Aww.
On March 7th, 2016, Luigi's Flying Tires was replaced by Luigi's Rollickin' Roadsters. Now, if I'm honest, this is still not my favorite ride, but it is head and shoulders above its predecessor. The ride puts you in one of Luigi's many cousins from Carsoli, Italy. Ride vehicle is an open-top roadster. Now, while Luigi is a Fiat 500, his cousins are not. They are an automobile created by Disney called a Frizzante.
Terrible.
F-R-I-Z-Z-A-N-T-E.
A Frizzante.
Frizzante. Yes. Maybe I should have said it like that.
Maybe. Think about it next time.
On the ride itself, you'll find that half of Luigi's cousins are female, the other half are male, and you can identify their gender by looking at the front of the chrome grill, looking at the front and for the chrome grill mustache, signifying the males. Clearly, okay. They've never seen an Italian woman.
Oh, damn.
I'm Italian, well, it's fine.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, we know.
Every single one of Luigi's cousins has their... Rude. Every single one of Luigi's cousins has their own name and signature look, with the exception of two coral-colored cars. But if you look closely, you'll notice that car number one, Rosa, has green eyes, and car number two, Gina, has blue eyes.
Uh-huh.
And that's it.
Okay. I was like...
I really wasn't going anywhere with that. I just thought it was kind of interesting.
I don't know
if they're
about...
supposed to be identical twins, they would still have the same color.
Like, I don't know enough about genetics to know if, like, maybe Gina is not really related. Yeah.
Well, if you're identical, you're...
You're identical. Exactly.
You're identical.
Yeah, but not really. Identical twins aren't actually really identical.
Yeah, but they have the same color, everything.
Everything.
I don't know. They're the same.
All right.
Each ride vehicle or roadster performs its own unique routine, meaning that if you ride this ride once in a day and a certain song plays, and then you come back and ride it again later in the day and the same song plays, you can still have a unique ride experience as long as you sit in a different car.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Makes sense. Okay.
I just don't think it's going to feel any different, though. Like, it might be different.
I don't think it does, because they kind of just, like, move around, but then at the end, they all do this. There's, like, a big spin, like, for almost every song. And that's like what you remember. Like, that's the big finish. So I know we've talked about this before, but Luigi's is the first Disney attraction in the United States that uses a trackless ride system. Okay. Apparently, Luigi's cousins needed a lot of room to do their dance routines because the trackless dance floor that they dance on is approximately 125 feet long and 75 feet wide. The final and, as I mentioned, most popular current attraction in Cars Land is Ridgeway Racers. I'm kidding. Is Radiator Springs Racers.
I honestly didn't know. I don't know at this point.
Do you know how many times I typed out Ridgeway Racers? And I was like, gosh, that's wrong.
If you repeat a lie often enough, it becomes the truth.
For real.
Yes.
So after making your way through a very lengthy queue, guests enter the Comfy Caverns. There's so much alliteration. The Comfy Caverns Motor Court, where they board a convertible race car. And the ride portion of the attraction begins. So I guess I've never actually stood in the line from, you know.
Oh.
And to, because I'm not crazy.
No, it takes, yeah.
Because I think the average wait time is still 120 minutes.
Something like that.
So apparently as you're going through the queue, that's different parts of Radiator Springs. Mm-hmm. Like older, there's like a story behind the queue.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff in it. You should definitely check it out one day.
I mean, but you know, there's always the fast pass line or the single rider.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is once you board the convertible, this is where the ride portion begins. Leaving the motor court, the vehicle takes a scenic drive through Ornament Valley. This is the dark ride portion of the attraction. Throughout this portion, guests nearly run into several potential obstacles. This starts with a near head-on collision with Mac, followed by another near accident with Minnie and Van, which is pretty cute. I didn't know that was their names. Then narrowly making it out of the way of a speeding train. As the vehicle swerves out of the way, the sheriff appears, warning the guests to slow down and to follow Mater into town for the big race. The vehicle then re-enters the town and passes Fillmore and Sarge, and the guests are greeted by Lightning McQueen and Sally. At this point, an automated switch on the track will lead to one of two ride experiences before lining up at the starting line. If the vehicle makes a left turn, it receives a tire change at Louise's Casa de la Tires and lines up on the left track. If a vehicle makes a right turn, it gets a fresh coat of paint at Ramon's House of Body Art and lines up on the right track. Doc Hudson introduces himself as, well, he's the Hudson Hornet, introduces himself as the guest's new crew chief as both vehicles pull out to the starting line. Once both cars have lined up, an enthusiastic Luigi waves the flag to signal the start of the race. Both ride vehicles then accelerate on parallel tracks out of the cave and into an outdoor segment around the rock formations of Ornament Valley, with the vehicles reaching a top speed of 40 miles per hour, which I didn't realize. That's pretty fast.
Yeah.
One of the two vehicles, which, again, apparently is selected at random. I thought it was always the guy who got your car painted one, but apparently I'm wrong. Reaches the finish line slightly earlier, bringing the race to an end.
That wouldn't be much of a ride if it was just the same. Yeah. You just knew in advance who was going to win.
Well, yeah, but you don't know where you're going to end up.
Yeah, but think about, like, you see your car getting painted. You're like, oh, we're going to win. Right.
I just feel like every time I've ever won, I've gotten
painted
a paint job.
Hmm. Nice.
But whatever. The attraction concludes with a short drive through the Taillight Caverns. Taillight Caverns is a semi-dark cave full of glowing stalactites. Again, sound familiar?
Mm-hmm. And stalagmites.
No, this is only stalactites. I only typed stalactites, so that's all there is.
Oh, okay.
Because apparently I forgot to type out stalagmites, and so they just don't exist anymore.
Revisionist history.
This is where McQueen and Mater congratulate both vehicles on a great race. And that, my friends, is the history of Cars Land.
Good job.
I did not expect there to be any history. So that was very impressive.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Car Land.
Car Land.
I really hope that that's just a placeholder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
like, all I think every time Bev said it was like reading a Yelp for Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And like, well, I went to Car Land and they had, I don't know.
And I only got four cars.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Like, they allowed me to eat four cars and I don't like it.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah. You know what's not terrible though, Taryn? Moon Boots IPA, which is the latest 21st Amendment beer. A West Coast IPA brewed with strawberries and hopped with Azaka, Citra Cryo, and Mosaic hops. Which every non-beer fan's like, why are those words? Moon Boots IPA was designed and created by an all-woman team at 21st Amendment Brewery and in partnership with the Pink Boots Society, which advocates for the advancement of women in the beverage industry. The label for Moon Boots IPA features the beer's creators envisioned as otherworldly beings and was commissioned by renowned Los Angeles-based animation artist Robin Eisenberg. Moon Boots IPA is a very limited release and available across the country at your favorite local good beer shop where 21st Amendment beer is sold. So check out Moon Boots IPA.
Cool. Sounds good.
I haven't had it yet. It does sound really good. The can art's rad. Cans look great.
Cans.
All right. Let's do a little bit of Disney news, please.
March in the past, present, and future with all the news that's fit to cover. It's the Ears Up Disney News.
All right, Eric, let's bring it back to you, brother, because I was going to talk a little bit about what rides are open and all that kind of stuff, but you know all that, so why don't you jump back in here and let's talk about what we can actually do in Disneyland.
Sure.
Thanks, man.
I know all of that.
Thank you.
As we mentioned at the top, there was a lot of discussion around what is actually going to be open, and it seems like it's most things. You know, Terrence pointed out, Grizzly River Run is closed. That seems to be a kind of a
constant
seasonal sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like most of the rides seem to be open.
All right. That's Eric. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Now dining is a little bit interesting because they have a lot more changes there than they do with the rides.
Okay, that kind of makes sense, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So Carthay can't eat indoors. Mm-hmm. It's al fresco dining. Ooh, at Carthay right now.
Love it.
Let's see. There's some weird things that don't have anything to do with being indoors, like Clarabelle's ice cream shop and the Corn Dog Castle. Those are closed. The Starbucks in DCA, the Fiddler, Pfeiffer, and Practical Cafe is closed. Wine Country Trattoria is closed. And I know this is probably the most devastating. This is the reason I'm not going. Okay. On opening day. Right. It's because Schmoozy's is closed.
Can I be honest with you? I've heard of maybe 2/3 of these. I've never heard of Schmoozy's.
I don't know what Schmoozy's is.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
It's a smoothie place.
Yes, the smoothie place.
Down Hollywood Boulevard or whatever,
there's
right?
There's a smoothie place down Hollywood?
I literally didn't know that existed.
Wow. Yeah, it's like right
is
at the edge.
Wiener Palace or whatever it's called?
That's still open. Yes, Award Wieners is
Award Wieners,
open.
Baby.
Award Wiener, sorry. There's a hot dog palace.
Best
here.
Wiener in a supporting role.
I just combined my universes.
I'm surprised that the smoothie place wouldn't be open. That seems like a very, very easy, like grab and go kind of deal.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know that they're currently listed as temporarily unavailable. That could be just right now during the touch of Disney. What
touch of
yeah,
Disney?
Touch
yep.
of Disney. That's yep. going on.
Yep.
Maybe they'll be open in time for
taste?
The
taste.
No, it's touch. Disney. It's touch of Disney.
Touch of Disney is different.
Yeah.
But no, it is the touch.
Is it touch?
It's the touch
it
of Disney.
Touch.
Yeah. Trust me, I made really amazing jokes about it.
Yeah, we were talking about how it should be the taste of Disney, yeah. but it's not.
Yeah. You kind of want it to be, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, there's a lot that is going to be open. Blue Bayou is open. That's indoors. Any of the places that take reservations will start taking reservations on April 22nd, and after that, you can book 60 days out from your visit if you're getting in.
Okay. Nice. All right. I love it. Well, there you go.
So there's going to be stuff to do.
There's going to be stuff to do. And speaking of the Blue Bayou, apparently now, finally, we will be able to drink inside of the Blue Bayou restaurant in Disneyland. On a post on Disney Parks blog, the company confirmed that beverages such as wine, beer, and a specialty hurricane cocktail, which sounds like a terrible idea, because that's all just booze, will soon be available at the restaurant. They'll also be offering a sparkling wine package and some other fun sips. Bites, eats, sips.
I'm very excited about this because I really like the Blue Bayou.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing missing. Is like, I want to sit there on the bayou with a glass of wine.
Down on the bayou.
Or a beer.
And you can take a sip of the mint julep, seasonal take on the mint julep, which will be non-alcoholic. So who cares? However, Disney did note that the Blue Bayou will open after the California theme parks reopen later this month. And an exact date on the restaurant reopening has yet to be announced.
They have to wait for their liquor license to clear.
Yeah, probably, dude.
Yeah.
Figure out what's going on with that, you know? But that's cool, man. I think that's neat. I don't really... I guess I cared at once before, but I feel like if you're going to serve liquor in Disneyland, you know, it should be at a... I mean, obviously, it's in Star Wars land, but, you know, in Disneyland proper. I think the Blue Bayou is kind of a cool place for it. But how many years are we until we get a beer truck somewhere on the hub?
That's my question. I wonder how long it's going to be until you can see people walking around Disneyland with alcohol.
Right. Probably.
You still can't do that at the Magic Kingdom in Orlando. It's still just in specific restaurants right there. Mm. They've been doing that for the last few years.
Or in Epcot, I guess, right?
Epcot, you can walk around.
Yeah.
There's plenty of walking around with booze.
Yeah, for sure. I was like, God, when I went, did I break the law? The Disney law? No one caught me? So anyway, you got that to look forward to. Drinking on the bayou, throwing your empty beer bottle at the passersby, dude.
Mint julep wasn't non-alcoholic. That's the only drink that I've heard that I would be excited to have.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not trying to get a hurricane, man. I mean, those are just straight booze, man.
I had a hurricane in New Orleans, and it was fine. It wasn't just full of booze. Like, it was mostly juice.
No, they did it wrong.
I got it from the dueling piano place, like the fancy hurricane, the famous hurricane place. And it was just whatever.
They saw you coming, dude, a mile away. What else is new in Disneyland is there's a new snack, and it's a fried pickle with a hot dog in the middle.
Nay, nay.
And the best part is it's served with peanut butter.
What is this?
I don't know, man.
What is this? Is this like a thing that people do?
It's called a pickle dog. And it's part corn dog, part hot dog, part peanut butter, and everything is fried. I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
I've never heard of anything even similar to this.
Yeah.
Like the pickle and the hot dog, like I can almost get behind that. Like I can understand.
Bro.
On some level.
Like relish, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, I like pickles. I like hot dogs.
Sure.
Put your hands together. I mean, that's fine.
But that's too much pickle. That's like, take a big pickle, hollow it out, shove a hot dog in it. That's too much pickle to hot dog ratio. And there's no bun.
But then it's, what?
Because it's just a corn dog.
It's a corn dog.
Oh, but it's fried.
Yeah, yes. It's fried.
So that means your pickle is warm.
Yep, warm pickles.
And mushy.
It's at the Blue Ribbon Corn Dogs in downtown Disney. And it's accessible to the public. It's a hot dog on a stick. And we already have covered that. You've said it three times now. It's $13 for this.
Jeez.
And you get a bag of chips with it. So in case you really like fried foods, the pickle kind of offsets your fried food intake. You can get some chips.
Wait, so it's not actually... Oh, because the parks aren't open. Stupid.
Yeah, right.
I'm dumb.
Each is made to order, and apparently,
you can order it rare?
But, like, somebody...
Well, because they're not pre-made. Like, apparently she's hollowing out a friggin' pickle, and imagine that's your job. Just coring a pickle and shoving a hot dog
sitting.
Yeah.
Like your mushy pickle dog.
Yeah, just... Somebody, that's like, gross. Where is the peanut butter coming from?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why
man.
Would
yeah,
you
that's
ever
a, that's a fair question.
I mean,
dip this thing in peanut butter?
Like, so look it up online, you guys. It's like the pickle to, here, the pickle to hot dog ratio is so off.
That's
no.
That's a lot of pickle.
That's a lot of pickle. I mean, it's probably.
It's a whole cucumber.
It's half pickle, half hot dog.
See, that doesn't bother me because I really like pickles. So I'd be fine with that part of it.
No, gross. Man. I imagine this is a nightmare to eat.
But, like, why peanut butter?
I don't know, man.
It's already, like, a weird, gross thing. Why are you putting, like, a turd on top of it?
Yeah, I know. Well, and then I was reading this article where this lady's like, oh, and I had to get it. And then it leads you to this other page where it's like, okay, here's a real opinion on it. And then it's just her, like, diary. It's like her Tumblr account where it's like, I took a bite, and I took another bite, and then I did just I'm 10 paragraphs and two ads in. Can you just tell me if you liked it or not? So I don't know if she liked it.
Okay, Ryan in the chat says that pickle and peanut butter sandwiches are a thing.
Well, look, anything's a thing, but it doesn't mean that it's good.
No, but sure. Like...
sliced hot dogs.
But a thing means that more than one person has done this before.
Sniffing glue is a thing. Huffing Lysol is a thing.
What?
I don't know.
Pickle and peanut butter?
In other news, Disney shows off, quote, real Star Wars lightsaber in virtual Disney Parks presentation. It was hosted by Josh D'Amaro, chairman of Disney Park Experiences and Products, and attendees to the special look inside Disney Parks virtual event got to see something that appeared almost too good to be true. A real working lightsaber. No.
Could it cut your arm off?
It's not a real working lightsaber. So apparently, like, pictures weren't allowed at this event or whatever, so there's no actual, like, real footage of it. But DeMauro took a hilt that you can just buy, you know, in Downtown Disney that you can put together. Not Downtown Disney, but in Star Wars Land. And he pushed a button, and, like, the light sword came out of the hilt and then turned on, apparently. And it was like, and he goes, yes, it's real. It's not real. It's just a thing that pops up out of the John. It's not real, but it looks cool, I guess, apparently. I don't know. Disney previously filed a patent for a, quote, sword device with retractable internally illuminated blade back in 2017, and that's what this is. So you can look at the drawings, and it's like, you know, everything's just housed in the hilt, and then these gears come up, and it just raises the thing. It's just whatever.
Okay.
So we have no idea what it's going to do or be in the parks. Maybe it's part of like some interactive experience, and maybe this is proof to me that the Disney parks are listening to us, because we've talked about using lightsabers in like training battles and stuff like that and rides. So this is proof. This is what it is, you guys. We are driving your experiences. It's not these other sites. It's us. But nobody will give us credit. Yep. I believe this, too. This is firmly what I... Toy Story Hotels to open at the Tokyo Disney Resort in 2021. So if you're going to Tokyo Disney, you can stay at the Tokyo Toy Story... What did I call it? Toy Story Hotel.
I'm not that excited about that. There's something about staying at a Toy... Like, I want to go to a Toy Story Land, but I don't think I want to stay in a Toy Story Hotel. I feel like two things. I don't think it'll live up to my expectation, because every room should look like Andy's room.
Yeah.
But who wants to sleep in a little kid's room for 5 nights? Like, I think that there's a disconnect there. Like, if I'm going to... I don't know. If I'm going to stay in a hotel, I want it to be nice, especially after walking around a park all day.
I agree. It's going to be a moderate hotel.
Okay.
Which, I don't know. Either I want it cool or I want it hot. I don't need a moderate. Like, I got that. There was a survey done by a travel whatever company, I guess, saying that these are the most popular rides at Disney World, which is in Orlando, Florida. Number one. I think it's number one. Maybe it's reverse. Yeah, it's number one. Number one. Space Mountain.
Really?
With 11% of people saying that's what they would go on, which doesn't seem like a lot. But anyway, number two, Haunted Mansion with 10.4%.
Yes.
You're right. Number three, Pirates of the Caribbean at 5.5%. So we just dropped suddenly. Then Big Thunder Mountain. Then Splash Mountain at Magic Kingdom. It's a Small World, Dumbo, Avatar. So Dumbo
beats Avatar?
Beats Avatar.
And Expedition Everest?
Yeah.
Dang.
Carousel of Progress. Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. That's it. Oh, well, so this is Magic Kingdom. So Expedition Everest is in Animal Kingdom.
Oh, but so is one of them that you said.
What's the Avatar business?
Oh, Avatar, yeah. What's going on?
These people don't know anything.
No.
Clearly.
This is stupid. Dummies.
Terrible reporting.
Yeah, for sure. Here's something similar. There's another survey that, for some reason, this is like a thing now, ranks the most popular rides at Walt Disney World across every state. This is why I'm including it. So I'm not going to obviously read every one of them, but, you know, I will talk about some of them.
So people from California, this is their favorite ride? Okay.
This is their favorite ride, according to the survey.
Okay.
So let me click on this old Link-a-Rooney here for a second. Okay, wow, that is hard to read. There we go. In Louisiana, people like Big Thunder Mountain.
Okay. It's fine.
Weird, right? Ohio, It's a Small World.
How did they determine this?
I don't know. I didn't read the article. I just saw the graphic. I went, ooh, colors. I'm going to look at this.
Like, how many people did they interview from Idaho to find that out? Like,
well, Ohio.
Oh.
Yeah.
So none.
Duh. Maryland, Pirates of the Caribbean. Maine is Pirates of the Caribbean. I don't know. Throw out your favorite state. I'll tell you what it is.
Hawaii.
Star Wars, Rise of the Resistance. Okay.
I would assume that would be everyone.
Most people are Haunted Mansion, which is obvious. Colorado, Eric, you tell me this is correct. Small World.
Yes, everyone in Colorado loves Small World.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to dox you, but, you know. Alabama, Astro Orbiter.
What?
Not what I would have expected.
Who even likes Astro Orbiter?
Well, everyone in Alabama, apparently. New Jersey, Space Mountain. Get Jeremy on the phone. California, Haunted Mansion. So that's right. Anyway, I don't know. I thought that was fun.
Weird.
Speaking of fun, there was a man who was arrested at Disney Springs, refused to the temperature screening, and then refused to leave. A Louisiana man did not feel the joy at the happiest place on earth during his visit to Disney World. Kelly Sills. Siles of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, refused to undergo a temperature screening at Disney Springs, according to deputies. Arrest happened February 14th, but the video is recently released. Quote, they're asking you to leave. We're going to escort you out now. Sir, you're officially being trespassed, the deputy said. And then he says, I spent $15,000 to come here. And the deputy says, start walking.
He's an idiot.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that's very funny. He just kept throwing out how much money he spent on the vacation. And he's like, you can't. I'm not trespassing.
Like, why would they care?
Right.
Like, that's not going to change anything.
Also, just get your friggin' temperature check, dude.
Yeah. I mean, if you...
Just it. You have a mask on.
Then you know what's going on. Like, right. You know what's expected and required of you. Just
well, he already and he had a mask on too. So it's not like he was just one of these people that goes, I'm a sovereign citizen or whatever. Like he just mask on, totally fine. Waiting in line, totally fine. Social distancing, great. Temperature checks. That's going to cost me $15,000 plus an arrest.
Yeah. Why draw the line?
But now you don't get to go to Disney World anymore or anything.
Right.
People are so weird.
Speaking of weird, renovations have reportedly begun on the classic Jungle Cruise ride at Disney World. It was reported on Monday that the Trader Sam character had been removed from the boat ride in Magic Kingdom. The character, a salesman of shrunken heads who stands shirtless with an umbrella at the end of the ride, has long been criticized by Disney fans as a negative representation of Native people. I've never heard this. I've never heard that Trader Sam is a negative representation of Native people. I don't understand.
Clearly, it's been long criticized.
Yeah, right.
Right there.
By Disney fans.
Right.
I just don't understand. I don't know. That to me, I don't necessarily get. I mean, maybe like the other natives and stuff. Okay, maybe. But he's a native guy selling heads. I don't know. I mean, I just don't. But again, if you're offended by it, then I'm probably wrong.
I'm shocked that they took him out before they took the hanging skeleton out of the Haunted Mansion. Like, to me, that is far more offensive.
Mm, yeah.
And triggering
in a general sense. Like, it's just...
Yeah, see, I never got that either. So, I mean, I don't know. What do I know?
I mean, not to me, but I think that a general consensus would think that that is worse than a guy selling heads.
apparently... The attraction is going to remain open while they update scenes in a phased approach, they're saying, over the next several months, which is weird to me. You know, like you're going to renovate the ride. Just do it. Weird. Weird stuff, man. But RIP Trader Sam's. Now I want to know what's going to happen for Trader Sam's. They have to be retheming that. Or how are they going to bring Trader Sam back?
They don't. It doesn't matter. No, but I don't even connect the two.
I mean, it's the name. It's the guy's
name.
Yeah,
except for the name. I didn't know that was the name of the guy in the ride until like a couple years ago.
Mm. All right. Well,
is he only in the Walt Disney World?
No, he's in both, but they've taken him out of Disney World.
But he hasn't been removed from ours.
We don't know yet.
We don't know.
Yeah.
No one's there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's a good point.
Duh.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's all I got.
There it is.
There it is. Bev, thanks. You did a great job.
It was good.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Eric, thanks for joining us, man. Giving us the lowdown, you know? And then Terrence.
I know. Terrence is back.
Back, baby. And at 4% on my computer.
All right. This is perfect timing. All right, everybody. Before we leave, fact of the show. Yo. Got one here. Bob Jones had made models for Disney animators to sketch by for years and for movies such as Snow White and Pinocchio. When Walt approached Jones with his plan to build a small 2-acre family park at the edge of the Disney studio lot, which obviously became Disneyland later, Jones and his brother got to work, eventually giving Walt the plans that he had asked for, including a radical idea of having figures in this park move on their own and even have their movements synced to sound. Walt was skeptical until Jones reminded him of all the fancy models he had built using wires to move the parts so the animators could properly sketch motion in these objects. This was at about 1938 or 1939. So raise a glass to Bob Jones, the godfather of audio animatronics. It was not Walt's idea. It was Bob Jones. Anyway, we're out of here, everybody. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Really appreciate it. Game night for Supreme Resorts coming up on Saturday. You find the details on their Facebook page or something. I don't know what's going on. Next week, we're doing In-Depth. That'll be fun on Tuesday with me and Jeremy talking about maybe just all the same stuff we just talked about now. I have no idea. Anyway, take care of each other. Stay safe. And don't forget to ask for the 21st Amendment beers wherever you find good craft beer. Like, I don't know. Like wherever. Bye.